this is an amazing opportunity for people to get access to an experience, or part of an experience at least, initially anyway, that that I had training with Rex for my very first practitioner course attending. And I had such a profound life experience, and he's remained to this day one of the strongest influences on my my education with NLP and my exploration in life. And without question, this has been the result of a 15-year journey and dream. I had that profound an experience attending Rex's course and having the experiences that were offered to me as a student. And I really think the field has been impoverished since 2001 when Rex decided to pursue other dreams. That's the message I'm hoping to get across by this interview, and hopefully you'll get a taste of that as well. So where to begin? We begin by asking you about your background, Rex. I'm fascinated to know more about what brought you to NLP. Can we start there?
Sure, sure. But first let me say I'm humbled by your comments, and I appreciate your comments. And as a testament to you, you know, a presenter, a teacher, a mentor, guide is, I think, in many ways, no better than the student is who should surpass them anyway. So your desire, your passion, your dedication to excelling is what makes the difference. And that can't be, that's not something that people do from the outside. And with that, I would say that I came to NLP as many, if not most, people come to NLP with, you know, feeling that something was lacking or feeling in places that was not effective or not powerful and wanting to be more powerful. I was a child entertainer. I grew up entertaining a group movie business and doing live events and got into hypnosis as a young kid and the mind reading and, you know, and entertaining and all this kind of stuff. It was in the movie business, and, you know, mind design and NLP kind of paralleled itself. I had mind design is something that I developed. It was through a personal crisis in my life that I came to discover certain insights, and I had been involved in hypnosis since I was about 11, and discovered NLP around 79 when Frogs and the Princes came out, and then sought out people who could, you know, provide training. But it came out of a hole in me, you know, of wanting to be better, of wanting to be more complete, of wanting to be able to be more powerful, and wanting to be able to get laid, and wanting to be able to be a success, and wanting, I mean, all the kind of reasons that most people probably come to something like NLP. NLP represented...
Very common. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, what NLP represented, really, in the early days, because I had... I mean, I was the one thing I'm really – there's a couple of things I'm really good at. One is always getting to top people in whatever field that I'm interested in. I've always done it in my life. As an early person, I was a true believer, born-again Christian. I got to the top evangelists. I got to the top faith healers. I wanted to be a faith healer. I wanted to scream and shout and dance and rain down hellfire from heaven and the whole thing. And modeled very successfully these people and ended up building it. I didn't build it myself, but creating a church, co-creating a church in Los Angeles with people, and it grew into the thousands. In Hollywood, I've always gotten to the top people in Hollywood, and NLP, it was getting in, you know, with the top people in NLP or in therapy or in, you know, whatever endeavor I've been able to, and in the movie business. My radio show right now, I talk to people who are, you know, professionals on top of their field. So I've always had that ability to find a great source and get to it. And I've always had the ability to compartmentalize my life. I mean, while it seems like I haven't been involved in NLP for 12 years, I certainly have been. It's behind the scenes. It's in other ways. And it's, you know, it's a different from actually presenting the live trainings. But when I was in NLP, I tried to keep a lot of my other life, like movie making or my personal presentation shows, separate for a variety of reasons. So I'm good at keeping secrets, I guess. And NLP, I mean, I digress, but NLP was marketed in a way of, because I had also done therapy and in Los Angeles while I was doing acting and teaching acting. I was, you know, continuing to study hypnosis and study therapy and offer therapy and counseling and worked as a psychic counselor and worked as a therapeutic counselor and worked as a hypnotic counselor and all these different things. So NLP came along and said, hey, we got a faster way to make changes in people. And not only that, it offered, you know, the ability to persuade and influence and to get your own way. And that probably more than anything is the thing that attracted me. You know, if you could have instant rapport with somebody and connect with them, wow, then the whole world would open up to you.
Most people who would know your name from your work in NLP probably know you through your company, Idea Seminars, that was active from about 1990 to about 2001, 2002. Is that correct?
Correct.
But that's not your full history. I mean, you mentioned 1979.
I got involved, and I went around to different practitioners and studied and worked with practitioners and master practitioners and different trainers. Ultimately, I ended up getting training and get certified from different certifying bodies, including Bandler. But, I mean, I worked with a variety of people, and I worked with a variety of NLP disciplines and hypnosis and meditative practice. I was a seminar junkie and went to anything and everything I could afford, and anything I couldn't afford, I found a way to afford or to get in free, to volunteer my time or some way. And in fact, it, in fact. It